Well, we read from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 45. And the times we read there of Jesus healing, having compassion on those who were devil-possessed, those who were sick. That's why I read Psalm 103 and the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Six times it says, who? This is not a question. It's a statement by the psalmist. He's not asking a question, who? He's making a statement saying, who has done all this? Who forgiveth? Who healeth? Who redeemeth? Who crowneth? Who satisfieth? And who reneweth? Who? Well, there's only one man that has the power to do all these six things. And he's the only one who can do these six things altogether. You don't have some of these things this morning if you're a Christian. You don't have some of them, I say. You have to have all of them. And he's the only one that can bring these six things about altogether, all at once, and all forever. Have you been forgiven? Have you been healed from the sickness of sin? Have you been redeemed? Have you been bought back? You were born in sin. You were in another country, as it were. This is not our country. We just sojourn here. Have you been crowned with that loving kindness? Are you satisfied with your salvation? And have you been renewed? You see, my dear friends, you have to have all these things. You can't choose. It's like the Beatitudes. You can't choose. It's like the fruits of the Spirit. You can't choose. You have to have them all. You have to be forgiven, or you can't enter into heaven. Revelation, right at the very end, tells us that at the end of chapter 21, that nothing that defiles can enter into heaven. You have to be forgiven. You have to have these six things. It has to have taken place in your life. And Jesus is the only one that can do it. And he does it all together. There's the difference between being justified and being sanctified. These six things come in being justified, which is a one-off thing. It only happens once. God cannot justify anyone twice. He justifies them once. But there's the difference between being sanctified. It's an ongoing thing. God is working His works in us. That's why Peter says in his epistle, grow in grace and in the knowledge. It's something that we have to do. Sanctified brings us. But justification takes us there. Oh, my friend, these are important six things, and the psalmist himself says they were important things. And it's not a question who, It was a statement, because it tells us there in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking about the Lord. It's not a question, it's a statement. And can you this morning, can I this morning say the same statement? Again, I ask you, have you been forgiven? Has your sins been taken away? Was your sins nailed to the cross at Calvary when Christ hung on that cross? That illness that would take you to death, sin, the wages of sin is death. Have you been healed from your sin? He who knew no sin was made sin for us as he hung on the cross. Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. There's a hymn, it's not in our hymn book. Redeemed. What a wonderful word it is to be redeemed when you're lost. We read about this, the good shepherd going out, he's got 100 sheep and one of them seems to be lost. So he leaves the 99. And he goes out to find. And when he finds it, he redeems it. In another way, he buys back. Christ's blood bought me. Paid the price that I could never pay. A price that you could never pay. And being crowned with that loving kindness. That's what it says there. Crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The great God who has the whole universe to look after, and yet he thinks of one person. But that one person's in the multitude. He's thinking about each and every one here this morning, and he has this mercy in his heart. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And the psalmist was satisfied. He renews his energy like a youth, like the eagles. Oh, my friends, what a wonderful thing it is for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I chose that hymn. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Does he sound sweet to you? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Saviour? Are you longing for that day when he will appear and we will be with him? And John says that we'll see him face to face and we will be like him. We will have an eternal body. The soul will be replaced again with a new body. As Paul says, that he will change this vile body unto the likeness of his glorious body. Oh, my friends, no wonder the name of Jesus is sweet. For he does all these things for us, and he does it for nothing. He asks us for nothing. All he says is, come. Come and receive. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, call his name Emmanuel, God with us. There's the two natures. Call his name Jesus. There's his human nature. Call his name Emmanuel. There's his divine nature. My dear friends, he remained what he was. He remained what he was when he became what he wasn't. He remained what he was. Colossians chapter 1, 19 and chapter 2, verse 9, it tells us there that it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell. He remained what he was. He became man, but he remained God. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. But he became man. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. A man. There's his human nature. He remained God when he became man. They never merged like milk in a cup of tea merges with the water. They just merged into one. Christ remained two-natured. A divine nature. That's how the angels knew him, because he had this divine nature. He was the one who cast out Satan. And he had this human nature so that he could experience what that which he had created experience every day, whether it be loneliness or pain or sorrow or grief or death. That's why his name is so sweet, because he is the one who takes us from our sin and gives us eternal life. You want a title for this? The title I would suggest is, If Thou Wilt, Thou Canst Make Me Clean. And the title would be, I Will, Because I Can, Because I Am. I will. If Thou Wilt, Thou Can Make Me Clean. And Jesus said, I will. I will, there's the willingness. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means the willingness that he had for this leper, the willingness he had for Peter's mother-in-law, the willingness he had for those who were devil-possessed, is exactly the same willingness today. I will. The willingness of Christ. Because I can. Here's the power. Who can forgive sins? Only God. Who can heal the lepers? Only God. Who can raise the dead? Only God. This is why I can do it, because I am. There's the authority. That's what he says to the the Pharisees before Abraham was. I am. When he was being arrested, and he says to them, who are you looking for? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am. I am he. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why I seek to preach the gospel. Because it's the same today. He never changes. His power never changes. Everything about the Godhead is perfect. He has the authority. Look at the leper. It's amazing that the leper approached the Lord Jesus Christ because he was with his disciples. And in the Old Testament it tells us there that Moses was to put the leper outside the camp and they had to dwell alone. They had to have no contact with the ordinary people. And here we have a leper walking about. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples and he approaches them. It's not that he shouts from afar, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. We get the picture here that he's there because the Lord put out his hand and touched him. Miriam became a leper for a few moments, but it caused her to be unclean for 7 days. Anyone who touched a leper, anyone who was in the vicinity of one who had died, was to be unclean. And yet here we find the Lord Jesus Christ touching the leper, touching the dead body, being in the vicinity of dead bodies, and yet he never became unclean, because he is God. There is no sin in him. This is why the Lord's name is so sweet to me. Think about the leper just for a few moments. First, think about this. His realization of his situation. He knew what was wrong with him. I remember years and years ago, before I was a Christian, I went to see that picture, The Robe, I think it was called. And the centurion that got the robe, I think I'm right in saying this, it might have been another one, but he went into one of the caves, and there was his mother, and she was a leper. It didn't show you her, but it showed you his face. And the sight was terrible. And we've seen photographs of lepers with their fingers gone and their toes gone, their nose gone. It eats away. It kills the feelings. And it's a terrible thing. And he realized the situation. He knew what was going to happen to him. And here, maybe for the first time, here was Jesus in the vicinity. He'd obviously heard about him. He knew something about the Savior, that he was able to do this. The realization of his situation. And men and women today don't realize their situation, that they're in their sin, and the wages of sin causes death. Do you realize your situation this morning? Has it got these six things? Forgiveness, healeth, redeemeth, crowneth, satisfieth, and reneweth? Have you, the owner of all these six things? You can't be owner of five and be a Christian. You have to have all six. And Jesus gives us them. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, these six things are ours. And this man realized his situation. He realized its condition. That it could only lead to death. There was no cure. So its condition he realized. He realized its duration. That it was going to be with him to the end of his life. It was not going to be cured. Its conclusion, that it would bring death. This is what he realized concerning his situation. The condition of the disease, the duration can't be healed. And it would all obviously bring forth death. And that's what the Bible says concerning sin. It can't be cured by human means. It has to be cured by the one who cured this leper here, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see something of his desperation. I just mentioned it. He was not allowed to go near anyone, but here he is in the presence of Jesus and his disciples. This was against the law, but he was so desperate. I have to meet Jesus. He's the only one that I know who can heal me. And he threw the law, as it were, to one side. It was his desperation. Again, we look at his determination. He's determined to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make way, he says. I'm coming through. I'm coming to the Lord. His desperation, I must. His determination, I will. And his exclamation. You'll notice all these words end up with the same three letters. His exclamation, Lord. Not rabbi. Not teacher. Not Jesus. But Lord. He recognized who this man was. And he could only recognize who this man was because of God. God had revealed to him that this was the one he needed. And in our desperation, if we are still in our sin, we need to be notable of our desperation and our determination to reach Christ. Thirdly, his expectation. That old lady who had this bleed for 12 years. She was in a multitude. She pushed her way through. Because she was determined that if I could only touch this man's clothes, never mind speaking to him, if I could only touch his clothes, then I will be healed. That was her determination. And it shows here his expectation when he came. Her expectation was, I will be healed. And this was the leper's expectation. Bartimaeus. Jesus, the Son of God, have mercy on me. Oh, keep quiet, keep quiet. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Keep quiet. He's not going to be interested in a blind man. But he was determined because he knew his desperation. And he exclaimed, and his expectation was, if I could get to Jesus, then I will be healed. I'll be able to see. So his expectation was this. You can. He knew he could. It wasn't asking a question, do you think you can do it? But he said, if you're willing, you can. He's maybe heard of some of these other healings in Mark chapter 1. And then there was the jubilation. Verse 45. He went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter the city. Oh, the jubilation in his heart. Jesus says, go to see the priest. Don't say anything to anyone. But he couldn't hold it. And I remember when I was saved in Morecambe on that September Monday evening, and I went into that little church of the Nazarene, I couldn't withhold myself because the man said, whoever's got a testimony, come up and tell us. And I had just been saved. It was a little church of the Nazarene. It was their harvest service. And the church was full. And I was soaking wet. We'd been in the water. Well, my knees and my trousers were kneeling down and the tide coming in. I'd just been saved. And here was someone saying, has anyone got a testimony? The jubilation of this man here, he couldn't hold his tongue. And it was the same for me. I got up there and I told him, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And they were all shouting, hallelujah! It wasn't my church. It was a little church of the Nazarene. But they were all shouting hallelujah. Why? Because in their very eyes, someone had just been saved. Someone had just been forgiven. They had been healed from sin. They had been redeemed, bought back. They had been crowned with the crown of righteousness. They had been renewed, and there was I satisfied. Satisfied. Because the name of Jesus Christ is lovely. He had saved me from my sin. He had made me anew. And this was the condition of the leper. And these things that I've just been speaking about, they were all happening to him. Now tell me this. Have they happened to you? Have they happened to you, my dear friends? That was the leper. He realized his situation. He realized his condition. He realized the duration of that condition. He realized the conclusion of that condition. He felt his desperation. He knew his determination. And he made that exclamation, Lord, you are the only one. And he came expecting. And he left rejoicing. Because he had been restored. Oh, my dear friends, what a wonderful thing it is to be restored. To be like him. I'm something like him at the moment. But one day I'll be just the same as him. Not God, but sinless. And happy. And content. And rejoicing. My friend, this is real. This is real. Is it real for you? Can you say the same as what I can say? I can only say it because of the Holy Spirit that has been revealed to me. Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will reveal all the truth to you. And I only know the truth because he has told me. I wasn't brainy enough to learn it. Oh yes, I had a Bible. But it meant nothing to me. It was just another book. Until the scales were taken from my eyes and from every Christian's eyes. Until that happens, and then you start to read this book and you find out the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can sing, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Well, what about the Saviour? What about the Saviour? Well, 1 Timothy 1:15 tells us that the Saviour came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. He could have come into the world to see what we were doing. But he didn't come into the world to see just what his creation was doing. He came in for the one purpose. One purpose. Yes, that was to fulfill his Father's will. But that purpose was this, that he might save sinners. And he will. And he has. The Saviour, he came into the world to give life. John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life. Who is he talking to? He's talking to people. And they're alive. So what is he saying? I've come to give you life. They're already alive. Yes, but he's saying you're dead in your trespasses and sins. I have come to give you new life. My dear friends, have you received this new life? Who is the Saviour? He came into the world, not just as a man, but as the great I Am. John chapter 8, verse 58. I quoted it before. He says to the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I Am. I've always been. You're not 50. How can you say you're talking about Abraham? But he was. He's eternal. Jesus, that's why his name's so sweet. It's an eternal name. He came into the world to save sinners, and he will. He came into the world to give new life, and he can. He came into the world to experience what we experience so that he could minister to us. But he also came as the great I Am, hanging on the cross. There was God hanging on the cross. And there was the man paying the price of sin. Oh, what a Saviour that he died for me. From condemnation he has set me free. Oh, dear friends, have you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Saviour? Is he the one that you have come and you've said, if you will, you can make me clean? And Jesus has said to you, I will. Be thou clean. Leprosy. I don't know if you've read that book. I know my wife has and I know Evelyn has. Five Fingers for God, is it? About an old lady who was a doctor and her son was a doctor and they worked amongst the lepers. I think it's in Africa. I can't remember where it was, or India. But they worked their whole life as doctors working amongst the lepers. They couldn't heal them and they couldn't put back the missing fingers and the toes and things like that. But they had compassion on them. And they wanted, in their heart of hearts, that they could heal them. But the thing with the Lord Jesus Christ is, he's not in his heart of hearts that he could heal us. He does heal. He has the power because he is God. Leprosy can only take you to the grave. That's the final place through leprosy. Every one of them died. Leprosy can only take you to the grave, but sin will take you to hell. Matthew chapter 25. It tells us there on Judgment Day, enter into the kingdom prepared for you by the Father from the foundations of the earth. But these here, be gone. Cast the man who went into the wedding feast on his own merits, cast him into outer darkness, where there'll be gnashing of teeth. What would you rather have? Welcome. Or be gone. I was just reading this morning in my readings that God said, I place before you life and death. Choose. In one sense, it's us that has to choose. I won't go into the doctrines of this. But we have to do something because Jesus says come, and it means that we have to come. We are accountable on that last day for where we will spend eternity. We are accountable. My dear friends, we must repent of our sin and we must believe in the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me on Calvary's cross. That's what we must do. We must repent of our sin. And we must believe. What is eternal life? Jesus says, this is eternal life. That you might know the only true God and him whom he has sent. That's what we must do. We must believe in him. And we must believe in he whom he has sent. That's why the lepers didn't say, I'll get you on the way back, Jesus. I've got something to do at the moment, so when you're coming back, I'll see you then. He was desperate. He knew it had to be today. And that's what God's word says. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. I've just given you notices for Thursday and for next Sunday. Can you guarantee me that you will be there? Can I guarantee you that I will be there? No, I can't. My life is in the hands of God. And I'm glad. Let's pray.